Today, as we know, Mother's Day is a day to celebrate our moms, whether here or whether they've already gone to glory. And today, as we speak about mothers, some of us are going to look back in gratitude for the role she played in our lives while she is now gone and with the Lord in glory. Others will look back and look at the present and will be able to see that same role as she is still active in your life. And praise God for that. Either way, may we be thankful for her, amen, and realize her valuable importance of our mothers, of her in our life. And we should be grateful. I think we are, but sometimes we can forget. We should be grateful to the Lord for such a rich blessing through His grace. And may I just say to you, moms, and I know your mom's going to hear from you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. I don't think those words can do justice. And so to you mothers and to you grandmothers as well, your role is of such infinite value, even though the world may say differently, especially in our culture today. And I hope and pray that today you will be encouraged to stay the course and see the magnitude of the importance that the Lord has given to motherhood. So thank you, Grandma, and thank you, Mom. You husbands, right? You listen up. This isn't a message to check out on. May you be reminded of the blessings God has given you and recognize the worth of your wife, also the mother of your shared children. That is so important. To all of you here, to you younger people, whether prepping for motherhood by playing with those baby dolls, you know, ours did, or the young married woman, may you realize as motherhood may be in your future, the wonderful gift it is from the Lord, and understand the valuable role you too will one day play in the life of someone very special that God will choose for you to be that role model. So no matter who you are or whatever your circumstances today, we all can celebrate Mother's Day before the Lord Jesus Christ because it's truly His gracious blessing to us. Lord, I just thank You for this time that we can come together and worship You. Lord, even as we celebrate our mothers, Lord, that is an amazing gift from You where You bring and form life in the womb. Lord, I thank You for Your role in our life. May we today be reminded of Your great love for us as we give You glory and turn and praise and thank Your gift and our mother. In Your name we pray. In 1871, how many of you were born then? No. There is a famous artist. He completed his classic portrait, calling it An Arrangement in Gray and Black, Number 1. I've used this picture before, but I'm going to introduce it back into this particular message. But the world gave it its popular name, Whistler's Mother. Whistler's Mother. Anna McNeil Whistler there, mother of the famous artist James Whistler, was 65 years old when he painted this portrait of his mom. And James said this of her. In her face he saw grace wedded to dignity and strength enhancing sweet. Wow. Well, what does Webster say a mother is? Webster's dictionary defines the word mother as a female parent, a woman who has born a child. That's what it says. But few of us, when we hear the word mother, think of it in such cold technical terms there in the dictionary. So just as for James Whistler, emotions, memories, and feelings are aroused when we think of the word mother and who that is. She is mom. And at a point in your life, she is mommy. She is mama. She is all kinds of names of endearment. She's not just a female parent, right? But there's another portrait of mother that is not painted by man. It is painted by God in His Word. He's the greatest artist there ever is. There is no one verse that says it all on who a mother is and everything about motherhood. There's no one particular verse. But with a brushstroke here and a brushstroke there, I know somebody wanted to finish that as a song, didn't they? Everywhere a brushstroke. Stop it. God paints a biblical portrait of mother, and mother begins to emerge on the canvas of God's Word. So, this morning, let's look at God's portrait of a biblical mother. You want to do that with me? People today, society today, the world today, its view of success, and on the list goes, really does not matter. Does not matter at all on what their viewpoint is of womanhood, what their viewpoint is of who is a woman, what is a woman, does not matter. What is a mother, what a mother should be doing, what defines a mother's success, does not matter. Only the biblical portrait of motherhood matters. So the first brushstroke I wanted to look at, so to speak, in the biblical portrait of mother is what we must understand that God wants us to see right out of the gate, the honor of a mother's place, the honor of her place. One cannot read the Bible, you cannot read it through without being impressed and highly impressed with the high place of honor God's Word gives to mothers. It's very important. It's truly fitting that we have at least one day in the year of special recognition to honor her. But the Bible would have you do that every day, every single day. Did you know, when you look at the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. Not one less or more than the other. There is an equality here to be given to both. In fact, did you know in Leviticus 19:3 we read, each of you must respect, that's the word honor, that's the word revere, his mother and father. Notice the reversal there in names. Mother is first there. It shows us in God's Word the equality in honor due in the parenthood relationship. The mother is right there with the father at the pivotal point in God's command to the world, to mankind. Think about this for a minute. Commandment 1 through 4 are all upwards. Commandment 1 through 4 are all Godward. Commandments 6 through 10 are all manward, reaching out. It deals with adultery, murder, stealing, the sins we commit against one another. What is the connection between commandments 1 through 4 and 6 through 10? I believe truly there is a link. The connecting link between the two, the vertical commandments to deal with our responsibilities in relationship to Almighty God, our Creator, and between the horizontal and our relationship to man, God, and society is the father and the mother, the mom and the dad. It is the family unit. Destroy the family unit and watch 1 through 4 and 6 through 10 buckle. Buckle. Oh, the importance of that fifth commandment. As the father is to be honored, so equally is the mother. Not one more than the other, but equally honored. This word honor Your mother means to revere, to respect. It is the same exact word, amazingly, used of the attitude of heart God expects us to have towards Him. As an example, same exact word in Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? That is the same word used towards the mother. If I am a master, where is the respect? There's the same word, due me, says the Lord Almighty. You see, we need to give parents and give mothers that kind of reverence and respect. God watches this closely. It made His top 10 list. He watches this. And not only does He watch this, this is His, not only His command, it is His expectation. Furthermore, the Bible not only says moms should be honored, but it goes on to say she should also be blessed. While negatively, we know the Bible lays down very severe penalties for any child that would abuse their mother physically and verbally. It goes even further to show its shock at those who do not positively bless their mother. Proverbs 30:11, where it says, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. That is a certain kind of man. What kind of man might that be? Is he who does not bless his mom? He is an evil man. In many other ways, you can see his evilness as it's described in Proverbs 30 in verses 11 through 14. It is this kind of man who will not bless his mother. See, this word bless comes from a word, very interestingly, to kneel. To kneel. It means to thank her, to salute, to congratulate, to kneel in honor. Listen to how this word is used of God. So I will bless you, there's the word praise in the NIV, as long as I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. Psalm 63:4. Or Psalm 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, there's the word bless, before the Lord our Maker. The same exact word used of honoring and blessing and praising Almighty God and kneeling before God on His throne above are used of the mother in the home. It's the same attitude. Not worshiping her as God, don't get me wrong, but the same magnitude of attitude. What do you think of that? Wow. All of this shows the place of honor a mother has in the eyes of God. And the place of honor she ought to have in the eyes and the hearts of her family, of her husband, her children. You see, God says the role of the mother in the home is one of great dignity. One of great dignity and one of great honor, which can only demand respect and reverence from her family. See, I believe this biblical portrait of mom is so refreshing in a society today that has regulated the role of motherhood, the role of raising a child at home, Titus 2:4 through 5, to be on the back burner of career or the back burner of what defines a mom as if she's somewhat lesser than. There can be a tendency in society and even in the hearts of husbands and children in the home to take mom's role for granted, but you will never, ever find that on God's portrait of mothers on His canvas. It's interesting to me, one of Satan's great tactics is to destroy what a woman is, attack womanhood, and attack motherhood, and watch a nation crumble. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. It doesn't stop there, as many husbands say, hey, that's cool, get up and bless your mom. But it goes on to say, her husband also, and even more. And even more, he praises her. Men, husbands, are you all about that? I'm amazed at how many husbands, even Christian men, still view their wives, the mother of their shared children, as in some way inferior in her role as compared to his. It's one thing for both husband and wife to agree to go to work. Let's use that as an example. But it's a whole different scenario when the husband belittles her for not going by words or by actions. He belittles or thinks lower of the stay-at-home mom as if she isn't quite pulling her weight and she should, in some form or fashion, thank him for allowing her to do that. Or looks at her as an inferior benefit to the family. This is a lie. This is a lie from Satan himself. Did you know that a survey just a few years ago revealed that 75% of mothers did not feel that their husbands gave them the practical support they needed? But far worse, nor the emotional support that was needed. The survey showed husbands who felt that their wife's role as a mother was really a second-class job or no work at all. So easy. What do? Ignorant man. And the studies showed, and they continue to show today, that these mothers, this lack of emotional support is so keenly felt and deeply resented and extremely hurtful. The message was not received. What happened? That she was not valued. That she was not respected as a person and as a mother and who God created her to be. And the Lord will hold the husband accountable for that without doubt. If any of that exists in any marriage or any Christian home, stop it now. Repent of that. Get right. Reconcile with your wife and start afresh and anew with God's perspective of her role. Anytime a man says, all you do is stay home and watch the kids while I have to go out and make a living, he's not only insensitive, but he is either, and you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt, he's either truly ignorant of or willfully insensitive to, or he loves himself so much he's blinded to the honor of a mother's place and the true magnitude and amazing value of her work and her worth. You see, God does define, and biblical roles differ from the father, and they differ from the mother, equally of great value. But raising children at home is never, nor will it ever be, nor should it ever be, in an inferior role to making a living in the marketplace. Nor does it deserve any less honor or more honor than the father's role. So, let's just be reminded, and may we always give mom the honor and the respect she deserves, as God himself says she must receive. So the first brush stroke, so to speak, is the biblical portrait of mother is the honor of a mother's place. The second brushstroke in this biblical portrait that God paints of mother is the wonder of a mother's love. A mother's love is proverbial. It's overwhelmingly well known. And we see it emerging over and over again on the pages of Scripture. You know, a father definitely experiences a very unique love with his children. I'm a father. I know this. I have experienced and do experience a very unique love for and from my children. But a mother's love seems to be a very special love known in a way unknown to man. There's a bonding that starts in the womb that I will never know nor ever experience. And God gave that special blessing to her. There's a bonding that starts in the womb and is felt in the labor of birth and nurtured at the breast that men will never know. This all started at conception, and it started in the mighty plan of God and His creation to the birth where the child is helpless and the mother nourishes the baby. Only a bond a mother truly uniquely has with a child that the man will never know. And when I look at this, there's two things that stand out about the proverbial love of a mother we see in God's portrait of her. Is a mother's love is sacrificial. In 1 Kings 3, you remember Solomon counted on a mother's sacrificial love in his wisdom to ferret out the real mother of a child in question. Real quick, the backstory, two mothers, one mother's baby died, the mother whose baby died stole the baby of the mother who had the living child. They both come before Solomon, claiming it's my child, and the mother who stole the baby is lying. So Solomon says, let's cut the baby in half. I'll give one. Each of you will take the baby. The real mother in verse 26, filled with compassion, said, give her the living baby. By no means kill him. The other mother was going to allow it to happen. Woo. Solomon was wise in what he did. She is saying, I will live a life of loneliness without my child. I will live with a life of pain and a life of loss that my child might live. She's his mother, Solomon said. And her sacrificial love proved it. Well, praise God, we parents and you mothers aren't faced with this on a daily basis or ever on a life basis. The sacrificial aspect of mother's love is seldom as dramatic as that event. Though I am confident most mothers would lay down their life for their child. But it is seen in the everyday, never-ending giving of self that we take for granted and then we feel entitled to, where mom becomes the slave. It is seen in the everyday, never-ending giving of self, denying of self, that is the real essence of a mother's sacrificial love. Not only in her heart and mind do they sacrifice their desires, but they place their child's needs above their own. It's also seen in their actions of showing them like a superwoman, a supermom, in her cooking, her cleaning, her chasing, her picking up endlessly, and on the list goes on and on and on and on and on. What they can do is shockingly impressive. Concerning that, the Daily Bread had this story. A teacher in class, she gave her class of second graders a lesson on a magnet. And she writes magnet on the board big time, and she's telling them everything about a magnet and what it does. So she gave them this question, and they had to write down their answers and turn it in for part of their homework. This is a true story. She said, write this down and give me the answer with magnet on the board. My full name has six letters. The first one begins with M. I pick up things. Who am I? When the homework papers were turned in, she was astonished to find over 50% of the class answered the question not with magnet, but with the word mother. For real. At second grade, they're getting it. So along with the cooking, the cleaning, the chasing, the picking up endlessly on this mother's role, man, you talk about multitasking and giftedness and the jack of all trades, it goes way beyond because she's a nurse, she's a policeman, she's a referee, a counselor, an interior decorator, a school teacher, a cheerleader, a chef, and a chauffeur. That wear, send me to work for 80 hours, that'll wear me out. And for many moms today, you can add an outside job to that. All this before she even begins her role as wife to her husband. Where sometimes she thinks she has another child. That wasn't in here. Wise, wise, discerning, godly men will truly appreciate their wives, their sacrificial labor of love that goes on after the labor of birth. They will honor her. They will thank her. They will support her. They will love their wives with sincere appreciation of something that is remarkable. It is their God-created giftedness and uniqueness only they possess. So in looking at the wonder of a mother's love, first, a mother's love is sacrificial. Second, a mother's love is unconditional. We see this. You know, her love is different than other loves. It's not like the love that she has for her husband. That's a different kind of love. In fact, that love itself is somewhat reciprocal. Think about this. That is the kind of love that most of us know. It's the kind of love that most of us experience. Most women would not even consider a man, let alone marry him, who did not make some effort, some attempt after their first meeting to be kind, to be considerate, to be caring. It's reciprocal and it builds up emotions and feelings for one another. I know she would not care for him at all, let alone marry him, if he had none of that, right? So praise God, he created it that way with babies, toddlers, and even teens, right? We all know something. We all know from the womb they are all so kind, so generous, so giving, and so considerate. You know that two-month-old goes, Mama, what can I do for you? Oh, Mama, I think I'll sleep tonight and not wake you up all night. I love you. I mean, what's not to love? Are you kidding? Perhaps you have noticed that babies are not kind. They're not compassionate. They're not caring. They're not considerate. They're little selfish people, little self-centered, and concerned about their own well-being. They're also extremely 110% helpless and needy. I remember, truly, some men are stronger than others. You dads, some men are stronger than others, but I remember many times when Shannon would leave me with the girls, baby Claire, 2-year-old Biz, 3-year-old Liney, Gabe, go play. 2 hours later, I was more excited to see Shannon than the first day I met her. Yay, mommy's home! And the crazy thing is she could do it day in and day out, every day, regardless of her life circumstance. Man, but there is mom, from conception to glory, a love that can be hurt, a love that can be disappointed and unreturned, yet still loves. See, mom's love is unconditional true love that lasts a life. There's a Danish proverb that says, he who takes a child by the hand takes a mother by the heart. With such a sacrificial and unconditional love, it is no wonder a mother's love, think about this, in God's portrait, is used by God to impress upon us. He chooses to use her love to impress upon us the depth and degree of his love towards you. And for him to choose an application, he uses the mother. He says in Isaiah 49:15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. As impossible as that may seem that a mother could forget her child with no compassion, the Lord will never forget us. And therefore, he invokes from us our memory and our emotions and our heart. And we think of our mother's love, and then it calmly soothes us when we think of God's love for us, because his is better than that. Praise the Lord. When we were ungodly, little sinners, screaming and needy and wanting our way and helpless. Indeed, with truly spiritual faces, only God with a mother's love could love. He sacrificially loved us and saved us and still unconditionally loves us. Even now, while we are still sometimes so self-centered and so failing in our love returning to him, he kind of loves like a mom. So the honor of a mother's place, the wonder of a mother's love. The third brushstroke today in the biblical portrait of a mother is the power of a mother's influence. The power of a mother's influence. What adult doesn't know the truth of this? Whether it be a good or bad influence. Some say a mother's influence is forever. Jerome Bates said, men and women frequently forget each other, but everyone remembers mother. By the sheer investment of her time alone that fathers can rarely give, mothers have an incredible power to shape and to mold and influence their children for good or for bad. James Frost said, the influence of a mother in the lives of her children is beyond calculation. Here are two examples real quick of a negative influence. In 2 Chronicles 22:3 tells us that 22-year-old Hazael became king in Israel and walked in the evil ways of his grandfather Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. There's the negative influence of a mother. In the New Testament, we see another example. Herod's daughter, when told she could have anything she wanted, she did not ask for a new car or a new iPad. She asked, I think I would like the head of John the Baptist. Why? Matthew 14:8 said, prompted by her mother. But we also see the positive influence of a mom. We went through 2 Timothy. Back when in 2 Timothy, we saw in his case the positive influence of Timothy's mother Eunice in his life. You heard it mentioned this morning, the wonderful words on the ideal wife. And the ideal mother we know as the, what? Proverbs 31 woman. I find this very keenly interesting that it starts out with the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. Everything that follows is from his mother. Go and read Proverbs 31 and look what his mother taught him. Look at the wisdom she taught him, the discernment, the character, the truth. You know I like to say this. Do y'all want to hear a gold nugget? Yes, we want our gold nugget. One that may cause you to pause and think. one that may confirm or remind moms of their extreme value. Maybe mom needs it confirmed in the Word or needs to know this value. One that might even enlighten the not-so-discerning dad. There you go. Did you know that this word for teaching here in Proverbs 1:1 from King Lemuel, mother, is the word Torah? And it is used more times in Proverbs with the mother than it is with the father. Did you know that? The word used with father is one of teaching, one of instruction. They have the idea of discipline and correction and chastening. But the word used of mother's teaching is Torah, meaning to cast, to throw, to shoot, to direct. It is even translated as an archer. Do you think mother's influence has value? Moms, never underestimate the powerful influence you have on your son and daughter. And I am very keenly aware there are mothers here today who say, well, my influence did no good. My child is wayward. No. You do not know that yet. You do not know that yet. God will use everything you've done in your child's life. We'll see that coming up. So never underestimate the power of your influence. Your equality and your value in the family unit is spiritually fundamental. It is spiritually priceless. Never, moms, allow the culture or society or anything to cause you to doubt the wisdom through God's word that He's given you. To doubt anything that God says is your role. The Lord will give you His wisdom through His word, through the Spirit, and know that He uses you in a magnificent, most powerful way as His instruments to teach and to influence your children. You have extreme value of equality in parenthood. Grandma or grandmom, we're not off the hook. You're not off the hook. The same goes to you and your grandchildren today. Y'all know I like sports. Some of you may not like sports too much, but I like sports. And what I find interesting about sports is how often you see the power of a mother's influence in almost every sporting event. The cameras pan the crowds, and you see signs, "Hi, Mom." I cannot think of a time in all of my life where I saw signs going, "Hi, Dad! Hi, Dad!" Can you? Even when we speak of our parents, what are we naturally inclined to say? My mom and dad. The initial tie for every child to their mom first, and that is a tie of a strong knot. For good or for evil. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my mother." Mom's determination, her determination to get into your business, to her determination to steer you right, to cast you in the right direction, comes directly from her God-created heart of love, which often isn't appreciated until much later in life. Therefore, mothers never give up hope, even on your wayward children. This starts in the womb and goes beyond the tomb. You know, I've shared somewhat of this in my past, but I want to use the same slide. I often now, at my age, look back over my life. And as I drive forward and look back, so to speak, in the mirror of my past, I often think now of my mom. And one of the Lord's greatest gifts and joys was my mom. I did not know it all the time when I had her. She is the sunrise of the beginning of my life. She turned out also to be the warmth of my life as the noonday sun. For those of you who never met her, this was my mom. Many of you knew her well. She not only taught me about the Bible, but she taught me how to live it. She not only taught me about the Lord, but why to love Him and obey Him. And oh man, I kid you not, my kids, don't blame me. I learned it from my mom. She was in my business. I try to stay out of my kids' business to the best I can, but she was in my business. She would look at me, "What are you thinking?" She would want to know my thoughts. And she never hesitated to tell me when I was going wrong or doing wrong. And even telling me the better way as she saw it on many issues. Did not like that. But we always had to step back when it was all said and done and see it was most likely usually the better way. I look back and I so appreciate and praise the Lord for all of that. I sometimes stop at her grave all by myself. I don't go there to talk to her. She's alive. She's with the Lord. She's not there. But I do sometimes stop in there to pray and thank the Lord for how He used her in my life. And to honor and remember her by honoring God. You see, no one, not even my father, that's a different Sunday. But no one championed me more than my mom did. Man, she fought for me. And I'm kidding, in every situation in life. One time I was truly getting it handed to me as a young kid in the neighborhood, and it was my mom who dove into that fight. She fought for me in every aspect of my life. She defended me. She cheered for me. She cared for me when I was sick, prayed with me, and prayed for me. She cried for me, and she rejoiced for me. My mom loved me unconditionally, even when I was breaking her heart at a time in my life where she may too have felt like my influence has done no good. She always hoped for me, and she never gave up hope concerning me, and on the list goes. She carried that right into being the amazing grandmother to our children and loved them. She knew what time I went to work, everyone. She knew at this time of the morning I was somewhere on Brownsburg I-74 to 465 heading in to work. And somehow, she timed that drive so often in her mornings, and right up to a few months before her homegoing, she would call me on that trip in the morning, and she would start singing to me. And she would sing to me. And sometimes it was cute, and sometimes it was sincerely a real song. Other times she even would joke out and sing me a lullaby. And she'd always end her song with "My Sweet Man." I would be driving in the car, ring, ring, oh, listening to her singing to me. Ooh, I'm glad no one else can hear this. Sometimes thinking, okay, Mom. Okay, Mom. Thanks, Mom. Mom's doing it again. And just waiting for her to be done and thank her. Now I wish I could hear her sing to me once again. Right up to a few weeks before she went home, I rarely do talk about myself up here in the pulpit, but I want to share this about Mom. Before she went home, she texted me this. I still keep it on my phone. I still have it. She said, "I love you, son. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It is such a comfort to have the godly wisdom of two great men in my life, your dad and you." Well, truly, truly, I mean it. I know not whether I am a great man or not. But my mom sure thought I was. Right? My mom sure thought I was a great man. It's amazing to me now, knowing she thought this of me. But it was what's so shocking, it was because of her own doing. It was because of her influence in my life that I could become a great man to her, who she considered one of the two men who could give her godly wisdom, two men she could trust. But her walk with Christ and her role in my life, I would not have been able to be that without God's providence and sovereignty of placing her, who's thanking me, in my life. You know, as I've shared before, right after I came into the ministry, a year and a half after my mom's homegoing to be with the Lord, it's a year and a half gone by, I'm in the ministry. My dad called me and said, "Son, I want you to read something that he came across in my mom's journal." I was now new into the pastorate. I didn't know any of this at all. I didn't even know her heart going into the pastorate. In fact, I never had a desire to be in the pastorate. I still have no desire to be in the pastorate except being called here at EC Grace. I had no desire until God called me. But now I'm new to full-time ministry, sitting in what was my dad's office, kind of reeling from the events of how God worked everything out. And he said, "I want you to read this for the first time." A few years before, it was never in my mind. It was never even in my heart that she was praying to the Lord that I would one day become a pastor, a preacher of the word and the gospel. And she wrote this quote, "Somehow, Father, let him become a pastor teacher. Father, this is my heart's desire. I see what you are doing with him. Please show him and let him hear your call." The rest I keep private to myself, the details she wrote. They're such a blessing to me. But even now, while she is with the Lord and her body is in the grave, because of her life and her love for me and her magnitude of her in my life and her prayer and the details of that prayer, I now truly am still learning from her by seeing the greater sovereignty of the hand of God concerning my decision making and his moving better than ever before. You moms, no matter where your children are at right now, no matter what's going on with them right now, whether they're honoring you or whether they're falling away and dishonoring you, let God have that season in their life. You have an influence on them. Keep praying. Keep praying. Robert Mulford, a pioneer missionary to South Africa, a kiss that made a missionary. Dr. Joseph Parker once said that when Robert Moffat was added to the kingdom of God, a whole continent was added with him. A mother's kiss did it. He was leaving home and his mother was going with him part of the way. At last, she could walk no further and she stopped. "Robert," she said, "promise me something." "What?" asked the boy. "Promise me something," she said again. And he replied, "You will have to tell me before I will promise." "It is something you can easily do," she said. "Promise your mother." He looked into her face and said, "Very well, mother. I will do anything you wish." She clasped her hands behind his head and pulled his face down to hers and said, "Robert, you are going out into a wicked world. Begin every day with God. Close every day with God." I think that's just a summary of her life teaching to him. Then she kissed him, and Robert Moffat said it was that kiss that made him a missionary, and he shook up. You see, the love and influence of a mother, the Lord will use her in your life to accomplish what he desires. And he will use you in the life of your son and daughters, even when you don't see how he's doing so. This is what, as I close, I want you to see something amazing. Did you know that although Whistler's mother became famous when James painted her portrait, it was Whistler's father, George Washington Whistler, who was considered a genius of his day. He was an assistant professor of math at West Point and helped create much of West Point's curriculum. He was a surveyor and he was an engineer. In fact, he pioneered and constructed the very first mile of passenger railroads in the USA for the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. But he didn't paint any portrait of his father. He painted a portrait of his mother. Do you think that the love, the sacrifice, and influence of a mother was felt on him? When he recalled that her face was grace wedded to dignity and strength enhancing sweetness. His description of her influence was seen by him in her face. I don't particularly see that. Others may not see that at all. Others may just see a little old lady. But to him, her son, he saw grace. He saw dignity. He saw strength, love, and sweetness. But what a portrait of mother God paints, amen? Her place of honor, the wonder of her love, and the power of her influence. From the womb to the tomb and beyond. Moms, you matter. You matter. To the mom who is led by the Lord, even in your failures, your child one day will be able to say, as I say, my mom, blessed. She is blessed. So I just want you to pray today, you moms, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your children's life, claim your God-given role, own it, and thank God for it. Take your place of honor. Take the love and influence you have and offer it up to God for His glory. And never, never underestimate your role, your influence, or the power of your love. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. Let's come up and sing. Lord, I just thank you today for our mother. Lord, we praise you and we give you glory. Lord, many moms here today are here with great joy and great happiness in their relationship with their children. Others are here and they may have one or more where that child is breaking their heart, where they are not receiving the honor and dignity they deserve and are commanded to give. I pray, Lord, you will strengthen our mothers in both areas to keep their eyes focused on you, to see that they may not always see the working of your sovereign hand, but that nothing they've done will go wasted. Lord, may we pray for our children. Lord, we pray for our mothers. May they be loved and honored and cherished in the home. May it start in the marriage covenant and be given by the children. Lord, we want to be families that are lights in the world and examples of your grace in our life. We could do none of this apart from you. Lord, when we think of a mother's love, we praise you for your love, your unconditional, your sacrificial love that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for me, for us, for the world. I thank you, Lord, that you are patient and long-suffering and tender-hearted and kind-hearted towards us. And Lord, how you're slow to anger and do not hold our iniquities against us as you've paid for each one of them. I thank you that you are our Father, that we come before your throne, Lord, and may we always show you reverence and respect and kneel before you. But Lord, that relationship of our Abba Father, to be able to come under your caress, under your loving touch, to share with you our hurts and our pains, and to dive under the shelter of your wings in your kingdom, in your family. We praise you for that, and we love you for that. Lord, keep molding us into your image And today I pray every mother here will, by you reminding her who she is, be honored. At a minimum, be honored by her husband. And Lord, may her children rise up and call her blessed. In your name we pray. Amen.